This morning we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 8, verses 147 through to 166. Lots of reading this morning. 19 verses plus an extensive commentary. So lots of nectar to relish. So I'm going to read the English translations and then we can chant the Bengali verse for 166. Verse 147, it's a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and observing austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity. Who speaks this verse? The wives of Kaliya. Yeah, absolutely. So Prabhupada says, this verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.36 and was spoken by the wives of Kaliya serpent. Yeah, the Nagapatnis. That's right, they're called the Nagapatnis. Well done. Verse 148. Lord Krishna's sweetness. So the speaker here is Ramananda Rai. He's speaking to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Krishna's sweetness is so attractive that it steals away his own mind. Thus, even he wants to embrace himself. Now he's going to quote another verse as a reference. Upon seeing his own reflection in a bejeweled pillar of his Dwarka palace, Krishna desired to embrace it, saying, alas, I have never seen such a person before. Who is he? Just by seeing him, I have become eager to embrace him, exactly like Srimati Radharani. So that's from, Prabhupada says, this is a verse from Sri Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava, 8:34. Verse 150. Where now we have the narrator's voice, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Sri Ramananda Rai then said, I have thus briefly explained the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now let me describe the position of Srimati Radharani. So the previous two verses we read were about Krishna. Now he's going to start describing Srimati Radharani. Verse 151. Krishna has unlimited potencies, which can be divided into three main parts. These are the spiritual potency, the material potency, and the marginal potency, which is known as the living entities. Chit Shakti, Maya Shakti, and Jiva Shakti. That wasn't about Radharani, was it? But he says, now I'm going to explain Radharani. So he's setting it up. He's giving background, explaining tattva, before he will explain Radharani's position directly. Verse 152. In other words, these are all potencies of God, internal, external, and marginal. By the internal potency, but the internal potency is the Lord's personal energy and stands above the other two. So the Sanskrit for these internal, external, marginal are antaranga shakti, bahiranga shakti, and tatashta shakti. Yeah. He's explaining, still explaining the potencies. Now he's going to cite a verse from the Vishnu Purana. This is Ramananda Rai speaking to Lord Chaitanya. Very famous verse. Vishnu shakti para prokta kshetragnyakya tata para avidya karma samyagya tritiya shaktir isyate. The original personality of Godhead is superior to or spiritual, and the living entity actually belongs to the superior energy. But there is another energy called the material energy, and this third energy is full of ignorance. Prabhupada says this is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana, 6761. Now 154. Originally, Lord Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha, the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Therefore, his personal potency, the internal potency, has three different forms. He's explained the internal, external, and marginal. Now he's going to narrow down to focus specifically on the internal, and it also has three aspects, Satchit Ananda, eternity, bliss, and knowledge. He'll use other terms. Yeah, very good. Samvit, Sandini, and Hladini. Samvit, the knowledge potency, Sandini, the eternity or existence potency, and Hladini, the pleasure potency. So verse 155, Ramananda Rai says, Hladini is his aspect of bliss, Sandini of eternal existence, and Samvit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. These are all three aspects of the internal energy or the spiritual energy. He will now cite another verse from the Vishnu Purana. So he's very authoritative in his conversation with Lord Chaitanya, citing lots and lots of references from Shastra. Hladini, Sandini, Samvit, Tvayeka, Sarva, Samshraye, Hlada, Tapa, Kari, Mishra, Tvayi no gona varjite. My dear Lord, you are the transcendental reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Your pleasure potency, existence potency, and knowledge potency are actually all one internal spiritual potency. The conditioned soul, although actually spiritual, sometimes experiences pleasure, sometimes pain, and sometimes a mixture of pleasure and pain. This is due to the living entities being touched by matter. But because you are above the material qualities, these are not found in you. Your superior spiritual potency is completely transcendental, and for you there is no such thing as relative pleasure, pleasure mixed with pain or pain itself. So again, that was Vishnu Purana 1.12.69. Ramananda Rai's point in explaining all this, he wants to explain Radharani, right? What is this so far to do with Radharani? It is the pleasure potency. He's going to say that Radharani is the embodiment of that bliss potency or pleasure potency. So now, 157, he says, the potency called Hladini gives transcendental pleasure. Through this pleasure potency, Krishna personally tastes spiritual pleasure. Hladini. As a child, I remember this because my name is Prahlad. So Prahlad is also one who gives pleasure. Hladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Lord. Verse 158. Krishna tastes all kinds of transcendental happiness, although he himself is happiness personified. The pleasure relished by his pure devotees is also manifest by his pleasure potency. Verse 159. The most essential part of the pleasure potency is love of Godhead, prema. Consequently, the explanation of love of God is also a transcendental mellow full of pleasure. Verse 160. Where's Radharani? She's coming. It's all background to establish Radharani's ontological position. She's not just a girl, not just a gopi, not just a friend or a girlfriend. She is the personified Hladini Shakti, or personified love of God. He'll explain that now. Verse 116. The essential part of love of God is called Mahabhava, transcendental ecstasy, and that ecstasy is represented by Srimati Radharani. There she is. Finally, the veil has been lifted. And now he's going to quote a verse from Ujjvala Nilamani. Among the gopis of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani and another gopi are considered chief. Another gopi. He hasn't told us her name. He won't tell us. He doesn't want to say her name because he's a devotee of Radharani. But when we compare the gopis, it appears that Srimati Radharani is most important because her real feature expresses the highest ecstasy of love. That ecstasy of love experienced by the other gopis cannot be compared to that of Srimati Radharani. Now something about Radharani's qualities. The body of Srimati Radharani is a veritable transformation of love of Godhead. She is the dearmost friend of Krishna, and this is known throughout the world. Verse 163, quoting from Brahma Sanghita. We actually sing this in front of the deities every day. Ananda Chinmaya Sarujvala Vigrahasya Govinda. So we can chant this verse together. Ananda Chinmaya Sarujvala Vigraha. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabis Tabirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabi Goloka Eva Nivasatyakilatma Bhuto Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Who knew this verse was a verse about Radharani? Ramananda Rai will reveal it to us. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Hladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rasa. Brahma Samhita 5:37. Verse 164. That supreme ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is the essence of spiritual life. Her only business is to fulfill the desires of Krishna. Verse 165. Srimati Radharani is the topmost gem, is the topmost spiritual gem. And the other gopis, Lalita and Vishakha and so on, are expansions of her spiritual body. And now, verse 166. Translation. Srimati Radharani's transcendental body is brilliant in luster and full of transcendental fragrances. Lord Krishna's affection for her is like a perfumed massage. Her body is brilliant in luster, full of fragrance, and her love for Krishna is like a massage. We're going to read Prabhupada's purport. It's quite lengthy, and what Prabhupada does is he gives us the translation of a prayer by Raghunath Das Goswami called Preman Bhoja Maranda. And this verse we've just read is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Bengali translation of the first verse of that Premanjana Maranda. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's translation is going to continue over the next, let's see, over the next, yeah, up to 81, is a continuation of that. It's like a song, actually, or a prayer describing Radharani. It's a meditation on Radharani's body. But Prabhupada, in his purport here, he's going to give it to us all at once, because he's going to give us a translation of Raghunath Das Goswami's original song that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is translating in the verses that go forward from here. Sugandhi Udvartana refers to a paste made of several perfumes and fragrant oils. So this is purport by Srila Prabhupada. This paste is massaged all over the body, and in this way, the body's dirt and perspiration is removed. Srimati Radharani's body is automatically perfumed, but when her body is massaged with the scented paste of Lord Krishna's affection, her entire body is doubly perfumed and made brilliant and lustrous. So she has a massage with affection for Krishna. This is the beginning of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's description of Srimati Radharani's transcendental body. This description, found in verses 165 through to 181, is based on a book by Raghunathas Goswami known as Premamboja Maranda. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation of the original Sanskrit reads as follows. So we're going to get the whole song, which is a preview for the verses that come up to 81. And when you hear this, you're going to hear lots of different aspects of Radharani's form compared to other things. And so what it does for us, I'll speak about it more later, but it provides us with a meditation. It's a dhyanam. This is a dhyanam, a meditation on Srimati Radharani. And when you see Radharani's form, when you see her deity, with this dhyanam in mind, you will be able to remember so many wonderful things, and you will know what to look for and what to remember to contemplate as you see her form. The love of the gopis for Krishna is full of transcendental ecstasy. It appears to be a brilliant jewel. Enlightened by such a transcendental jewel, Srimati Radharani's body is further perfumed and decorated with kumkum. In the morning, her body is bathed with the nectar of compassion. In the afternoon, the nectar of youth. And in the evening, the nectar of luster itself. So three baths. We take bath three times a day, Brahminical culture, right? Her bath is compassion, youth, and luster. In this way, the bathing is performed, and her body becomes brilliant as the Chintamani jewel. She is dressed in various kinds of silken garments, one of which is her natural shyness. So you see Radharani's clothes, her shyness. Her beauty is more and more enhanced, being decorated with the red kumkum of beauty itself and the blackish musk of conjugal love. So her kumkum is her beauty, and the musk, sometimes you'll see a musk on her chin, that is conjugal affection. Thus her body is decorated with different colors. Her ornaments embody natural symptoms of ecstasy. Trembling, tears, jubilation, stunning perspiration, faltering of the voice, bodily redness, madness, and dullness. So these are astasattvika bhavas. When you see Radharani's ornaments, you can think these are representing her ecstasies. In this way, her entire body is bedecked with these nine different jewels. So Navaratna. She has a Navaratna. Her Navaratna are different ecstasies. The Astasattvika Bhavas plus one. One Vyabhichari Bhav. Over and above this, the beauty of her body is enhanced by the transcendental qualities which constitute the flower garland around her body. The ecstasy of love for Krishna is known as Dhira and Adhira, sober and restless. Such ecstasy constitutes the covering of Radharani's body, and it is adorned with camphor. Her transcendental anger for Krishna is embodied in the arrangement of her hair. Can hair represent anger? Sometimes people, you'll see their hair go in a certain way, you know they're angry. But Radharani's anger brings lots of pleasure to Krishna. And and the tilak on her forehead is good fortune. Good fortune shines on her beautiful forehead. Radharani's earrings are the holy names. Yeah, the holy names. Today the deities, they're dressed in this holy name outfit, yeah? And so even if you don't see the holy names written there on the deity's clothes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, when you see Radharani's earrings, you say, oh, those represent the holy names. She likes to hear Krishna's name and qualities and pastimes being described. As well as hearing of his name and fame, her lips are always reddish due to the betel nut of ecstatic affection for Krishna. The black ointment around her eyes is her tricky behavior with Krishna, brought about by love. So their relationship is parakya. So it is lawless love. Their parents are always obstacles, and so their meetings will be in the dark. It'll be hidden. And so therefore the black mascara around Radharani's eyes, dark, represents her tricky behavior in having clandestine meetings with Krishna. Her joking with Krishna and gentle smiling constitute the camphor with which she is perfumed. She sleeps in her room with the aroma of pride. And when she lies down on her bed, the transcendental variety of her loving ecstasies is like a bejeweled locket in the midst of the necklace of separation. Her transcendental breasts are covered with the sari in the form of affection and anger toward Krishna. She has a stringed instrument known as Kachapi Veena. Krishna has a flute, Radharani has a veena, Kachapi Veena, with two girds and a rod. Sitar also has two girds, but these are round. Anyway, it's veena. It's a more ancient instrument than the sitar. Radharani plays a veena. Narada Muni also plays a veena. It's a very ancient Vedic instrument. The veena is the fame and fortune that actually dries up the faces and breasts of the other gopis. When she keeps her hands on the shoulder of her friend who represents her youthful beauty, she always keeps her hand on the shoulder of her gopi friend who represents her youthful beauty. And although she is highly qualified with so many spiritual assets, she is nonetheless affected by the cupid known as Krishna. Thus, she is defeated. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami offers his respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani, taking a straw in his mouth. Indeed, he prays, O Gandharvika, Srimati Radharani, just as Lord Krishna never rejects a surrendered soul, please don't reject me. This is a summary of the translation of Premam Bhoja Maranda, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes. Om Gyantimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Panchakal Patarubhyascha Krapa Sindubhyevacha Padidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi. So, we have read a lot this morning. 19 verses with an extensive purport by Srila Prabhupada, summarizing another, let's say, 8 or 9 verses. And we can group these, what we have read today, into a few different subgroups. It helps to chunk things down, and then we can discuss like that. So, the first few verses described Krishna's attractiveness, Krishna's sweetness. There were some quotes from the Bhagavatam, from Ujjvala Nilamani. The next group of verses that we read described Krishna's shaktis, Krishna's potencies. And that was Ramananda Rai giving us some tattva before describing the rasa, before revealing Radharani to us. The third group of verses that we read, which were the with the purport, described Radharani's as the personification of pure love for Krishna. So let's consider these three points then: Krishna's sweetness or attractiveness, Krishna's potencies, and Radharani as personified love for Krishna. And as I discuss each of these three topics, I will also give you some reflections, some sadhana notes to take home and meditate upon. Krishna's sweetness, or his quality of attraction. We just got the very tail end of Ramananda Rai's description of Krishna's attractiveness, and the verse that you discussed last week, you had a quotation also from the Bhagavatam, spoken by Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu. Anyone remember that? Govinda's nodding his head. What was that about, Govinda? Yeah, so Mahavishnu has stolen the children of a brahmana in Dvaraka. Arjuna's made a vrata. I will save them, otherwise I'll give up my life. And Krishna will never let Arjuna give up his life. And so Mahavishnu, he's kept them concealed. And when Arjuna is about to give up his life, Krishna says, let me take you somewhere. He takes him to the abode of Mahavishnu. And there are the children playing. And Vishnu says, I stole these children so that I could see you. So that I could see you both. Ramananda Rai, he's revealing to us a very... When you read the story, you don't quite pick up the idea that Ramananda Rai is bringing out here. He's saying, Krishna is so attractive. Krishna is so beautiful that even Mahavishnu himself wants to see him. And he's made this elaborate arrangement. In the verse we read today, spoken by the Nagapatnis, the following verse is establishing another point. Not only is Mahavishnu attracted to Krishna, but Lakshmi is as well. Lakshmi is also attracted. Let's read it again, because when we read the Bhagavatam, it doesn't necessarily come out to us, but when Ramananda Rai speaks, he reveals these, or Lord Chaitanya, they reveal these hidden treasures in these verses. So, I'll read the verse, 147. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the lotus feet, by your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and observing austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity. It's there, right? It's hidden there. Krishna has been dancing on Kaliya's hoods. Initially, he was wrapped up in the coils of Kaliya Nag, and the Brajbasis on the banks of the river Yamuna, they were besides themselves with fear and grief. They thought Krishna was being taken from them, seeing Krishna struggling. So they thought, bound up in the coils of this Kaliya Nag. And Mother Yasoda, she's trying to dive into the lake to rescue her son from this gigantic multi-headed serpent. She's been held back by other gopis. Some Brajbasis, they've fallen on the ground, they've fainted. They come back to consciousness, they see Krishna struggling in Kaliya's coils, again they faint. This is a devastating scene for them, and seeing how affected the Brajbasis are, Krishna says, okay, I can't. Balaram actually says to him, Krishna, you have to stop this. Stop this pastime. You're causing too much angst, too much anguish to your relatives and to the Brajbasis who love you so much. Stop this pastime. No more. Krishna, he's Dauji, he's the elder brother. So Krishna, no more fun with this. So he releases himself from Kaliya's coils and he has another pastime to perform, dancing on Kaliya's hoods. Kaliya has these many, many, he's a cobra, but he's a cobra with many, many heads. And he's trying to bite Krishna, but also he has, he's breathing fire and poison. He's trying to harm Krishna with his poison bite and his fire. And Krishna, he's dancing one head to the other. As each head comes up, Krishna dances on that and then jumps to another head. And in this way, we have this wonderful name for Krishna, Natabara. Natabara. He is the best of dancers. Lord Shiva, he is Nataraj. His dance is a dance of destruction. And Krishna is Natabhara. His is a playful dance on the hoods of Kaliya. And Kaliya becomes tired. His hoods become weaker and weaker. His fire is exhausted. And as he's on a point of death, the Naga Patnis, they surround Krishna Kaliya and they pray. Please don't kill our husband. He is a foolish demon. He has misbehaved. He has poisoned your Yamuna River. He's poisoned your Braj Dham. He's poisoned your cows with his toxic vapors. He's killed many birds. We know he's done wrong, but he's also our husband. And we are your devotees. And we don't know. Then they glorify Krishna. You have been very kind to him. You have been so kind to him by dancing on his heads. We don't know how he got this good fortune because Lakshmi, she couldn't get this. She couldn't get the dust of your lotus feet. How is it that Lakshmi couldn't get the dust of Krishna's lotus feet? She's massaging the lotus feet of Narayan all the time. But here in this verse, we learn that Lakshmi ji has performed tapasya for centuries. And despite her long tapasya, she was unable to get the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. She's massaging Narayan's feet, but she wants to take shelter of Krishna's feet. This boy, this cowherd boy in Brajbhumi, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yasodhamaya. And she couldn't get it. So Ramananda Rai is using this as an example. Just see, not only is Mahavishnu attracted to Krishna, Lakshmi ji is also attracted to Krishna. How wonderful is he? He's so wonderful, he's attractive, that even Lakshmi Narayan want to have his darshan, they want to have his seva. What's interesting is Lord Chaitanya, he's now in the position of a student of Rai Ramananda. We are reading 8th chapter of Madhya Lila. In chapter 9, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will quote this verse himself in his conversation with a pujari at Ranga Kshetra, Venkatabhata. He will say to Venkatabhata, "Venkatabhata, why is it that you are a devotee of Lakshmiji? You're the pujari for Lakshmi Narayan. Why is it that Lakshmi is performing tapas to get the mercy, the association of my lord, the cowherd boy, Krishna? What is this? Why do you think this is?" And Venkatabhata, he says, "Well, no harm. Narayan and Krishna, they're the same. Krishna is the playful aspect of Lord Narayan. There is no harm if Lakshmi, the wife of Narayan, wants to associate with her husband in his other form." That's his answer. A good response. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "But why is it that she wasn't allowed?" It says she performed. He's quoting the verse. He says she performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and observing austere vows, but she couldn't attain this benediction. And Venkatabhata, he gave up. He says, "I don't know. You know, you are joking with me, and you are confusing me." So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this joking conversation with Venkatabhata, he's also establishing Krishna's supreme position. We can talk more about this later. But for now, we can consider. Krishna is so attractive. Rupa Goswami's, Ramananda Rai's also describes some other verses where Krishna wants to embrace himself. He's seen his reflection in a pillar. And he's saying, who is this handsome man? Who is this handsome man? I wish to embrace him. So then he's establishing that Krishna is even attractive to himself. What's interesting, he says, I wish to embrace him like Radharani. That's the segue. I wish to embrace him like Radharani. Radharani gets to embrace him. Radharani gets that privilege, that pleasure of embracing Krishna. But we will talk about her. We will talk about that. But for the time being, we can, sadhana notes for you and I. Why, if Krishna is so attractive, he is attractive not just for yogis and rishis, not just for devatas like Brahma and Shiva. He is attractive also for Lakshmi and Narayan. Where is our attraction? What's wrong with us? This is the sadhana note. What is wrong with us that we don't have that attraction? And so Rupa Goswami, he gives an explanation. Sat Krishna nama charitari sutapta vidya pito patapta rasanasya naruchikanu. He says, when we are afflicted by the disease, the jauntice of avidya, of ignorance, then we cannot taste sweetness. Once Indrajuna Maharaj had jauntice in South Africa, and his body became... I had read the verse from Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita, Sat Krishna nama charitari sitapta vidya pito patapta, that the jauntice avidya makes one unable to taste sweetness. I had read the verse, but I didn't know what it meant. Then Indrajuna Maharaj got jauntice. He couldn't taste anything sweet. We'll give him sweet, and for him it was bitter. Tasted terrible. And his body was yellow. I'd heard jaundice makes you yellow. I thought maybe, yeah, like some kind of yellowish. But no, it was literally, his body was yellow from the toxins, the poison in the body. So the poison in the body makes the body yellow, but also makes the taste bud unable to taste sweetness. Rupa Goswami says, Kintavyadarad anudinam nakalusheva justam svadvikramad bhavati tad gadamulahantri. But it is wonderful that by taking the medicine of sugar candy or sugar cane, that's a nice medicine, right? But when you have jaundice, it doesn't taste sweet. By taking the medicine of sugar cane, then the jaundice can be cured. And so by taking the medicine of the holy name, the tongue, which doesn't have a taste for Krishna, can get the taste. Kintavyadarad anudinam, every day. Do it every day, and the disease will be cured. So I was getting sugar cane for Indrajuna Maharaj, and feeding him, and standing over him, and making sure that he ate it. Because I knew from Rupa Goswami that this is the cure. And so, dutifully, he obliged. And in time, as the days went by, more and more he could taste the sweetness of the sugar cane. And so for us, the sadhana note is, yes, we cannot taste now. Understand why. Rupa Goswami has given us the diagnosis and the cure. Why is because of avidya, the cure. Every day, be purified by hearing about, remembering, and glorifying Krishna. Come and see Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. Do some seva for Radha Gokulananda. Do some seva for the Vaishnavas. Chant the holy Krishna's holy name. Hear about Krishna. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And gradually, the jauntice will be cured, and we will be able to taste Krishna's sweetness as well, such that we will become also mad to see Krishna, to hear of Krishna, to glorify Krishna. Okay, let's go to the second point then of Krishna's potencies. Kaviraj Goswami, well, Ramananda Rai has described three potencies. We will discuss two as our interim and then come to, when we discuss Radharani, we'll discuss the third. First was the Sandini Shakti. Sandini Shakti. When we hear the Sanskrit, sometimes our minds can go blank and we can switch off. Oh, I don't understand. That's too difficult. Sandini, Samvit, Sladini. I want to try to make this. Many of you are very learned Vaishnavas, so this you don't need to try to remember. But for some of you who are confused by these terms, I want to try to make them very tangible for you. Sandini Shakti is the eternity potency, and it is the substance with which the spiritual world, Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's associates, his parents, they're all extended from Sandini Shakti, or this eternity or substance potency. When I was younger, the only mridangas we had were fiberglass. They were made in Los Angeles at the BBT, and they had a sticker. There was a sticker on the mridanga. Who remembers those? Yeah. What was the sticker? Balaram. Yeah, the sticker said Balaram. And it was Anantadev. So I think it was three hoods. Three or five hooded Anantadev. And it said Balaram. So the brand name for these mridangas that were made at the BBT in Los Angeles, they were called Balaram mridangas. Why Balaram? Because it's Krishna's Sandini Shakti, his potency, eternity potency, that is personified by Balaram, by Baladev. So when you and I are doing seva in the paraphernalia room or in the temple room, or in the kitchen, or anywhere in this Radha Gokulananda's dham property here, this is all an extension of Balaram. We must treat it respectfully. Sandini Shakti. Krishna's, yeah, Balaram extends as, yes, the mridanga, but also as Krishna's bed, his seat, his shoes, his stick, his clothes, his dham, his parents, his associates, cowherd boys, they're all extended from Balaram, Sandini, Shakti, or eternity potency, Sat. And then the Samvit is the knowledge potency or cognizance, consciousness, conscious awareness. Conscious awareness, that is Krishna's Samvit Shakti. We say knowledge, yeah? Chit Shakti. So in the spiritual sky, everything is conscious, everything is aware. And Krishna himself, he is aware of himself on account of his Samvit Shakti. And he gives awareness or self-awareness to us living beings as Krishna's expansions as well. He is also expanding as Paramatma, and he's giving awareness, he's given knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Sarvasya chaham hridi sani vishto mata smritir jnanam. Mata smritir jnanam. Knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Krishna says, I am giving this as Paramatma in the hearts of all living beings. Sometimes, Godram Bihari Prabhu told me a wonderful story some time ago. He said he was on Sangirtan distributing books. This will help you remember the Samvit Shakti. Yeah? Godram Bihari is distributing books, and I have your permission to tell the story, right? Yeah. And one man, youth came down the street. Godram Bihari approached him, very courageous. This youth looked quite disturbed. Godram Bihari approached him and he said, here, take this book. And the youth looked up at Gaudram Bihari. He saw he's looking very transcendental, like a person from Vaikuntha. And he says, I can't take that. I'm a sinner. I've done so many sinful things. And Gaudram Bihari thought, well, this person really needs a book. But he thinks he can't have it because he's sinful. And so he told me, I said, help Krishna. He prayed to Krishna. And then some words came from his mouth that he had never said before. This wasn't a line that he used regularly on Sankirtan. This was something that Krishna gave him in the moment. He said, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. What profound wisdom. What a wonderful response. Every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. And the boy said, okay, I'll take it. I'm a sinner, but I have a future. How wonderful. And Gaudram Bihari says, where did that come from? It came from Krishna. He said, on Sankirtan, Krishna always gives us insight. He gives us guidance. He gives us instruction. That is Sambit Shakti. Anything that you know, anything that you remember, any knowledge that we have, that is Krishna's Samvit Shakti. And also the scientists, Einstein, he said he saw his theory of relativity as a dream. He saw the formula, woke up, wrote it down. The math didn't exist yet. It took 100 years for the math to catch up to Einstein's theory. He didn't arrive there through doing the mathematical work to arrive there. He was the theory itself was ahead of the math of his day. But he saw it in a dream and he wrote down the formula. Mozart would describe hearing symphonies in his head that he then wrote down as notation. They were given to him. Yes, he trained and he prepared, but Paramatma was giving him this insight. There's a conversation with the devotees from the Bhaktivedanta Institute with Srila Prabhupada, where they tell Prabhupada, there is no scientific explanation for insight. There are speculations, but there's no really good understanding of what insight is. Where it comes from, how this phenomenon can take place. Einstein sees the theory, Mozart hears the symphony, and any other insight that we have in our day-to-day. Gaudram Bihari being inspired with the perfect words for that soul who needed to hear them. The devotees, the scientists, they're telling Prabhupada, there's no good theory, but we know from Shastra that it's Paramatma. Can we make this case as one of our arguments to the scientific community? And Prabhupada says, yeah, Prabhupada is very enthusiastic. He blesses that idea that that can be one of the research projects of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Okay, so we've discussed two of these shaktis then. Sandini, the eternity or substance potency. Our example was the Balaram Mridanga. Because this potency is extended from Balaram. Balaram is Adiguru. Because he extends himself to do all of the seva, Krishna's stick, Krishna's shoes, Krishna's paraphernalia, then he is called the best servant, therefore the best, or the original servant is the original Guru. And he is also the source of strength, that he is expanded as this paraphernalia and as this substance, and it is maintained with strength. So, sadhana note for you and I, Sandini Shakti, under Balaram's jurisdiction, we can pray to him for strength, for spiritual strength. He's also Guru, giving knowledge of our relationship with Krishna. And we can pray to Krishna for this insight. We can read Shastra, but then also be given insight how to understand the Shastra, what is being explained here, more than just the words on the page, but some realization that is given by Paramatma. And when we put ourselves in a position for seva, like Sankirtan, then Krishna is also giving us that realization, that insight. It's a nice way to feel Krishna's mercy. Oh, but any seva, leading kirtan, cooking for the deities, dressing the deities, you can be given insight how to dress the deities, how to place that flower, how to some special ingredient that you're inspired to put into the preparation, and it gives it a special flavor, all by the mercy of Samvit Shakti, Krishna's knowledge potency. Yeah? Strength and knowledge. Sandini, Samvit. And now we come to Hladini Shakti, Krishna's pleasure potency. For a long time, I thought preaching was about a good argument. I would prepare myself with good arguments. I would listen to classes, note down the argument, learn the argument, practice the argument, and then look for opportunities to use the argument to convince people, to defeat them, make them into devotees. I was still young, I couldn't go into the city myself, but I would look for opportunities to go downtown, walk up and down the street, and I knew people would stop me, and then I could make the argument and and make them into devotees. Sometimes if I couldn't get into town, I'll get on the phone, dial up people, try to make the argument by phone. But I was very interested in learning the arguments to convince people or to defeat people as a logical reasoning. And then at some point I realized a lot of people are attracted to Krishna not by the argument, but by the experience. They don't know why they like Krishna, but when they come among the devotees, they feel peaceful. They feel happy when they're in the kirtan. They feel peaceful when they read the Bhagavad Gita, even though they might not be understanding what it means. They feel some joyfulness when they see the deities, when they take Krishna prasad. And the argument comes later. It's like a secondary. Oh, yeah, okay, you can explain it as well. I was convinced just by what I was feeling. But then, yeah, if we can explain and justify it and make sense of it, all the better. So I realized that a lot of my service, as I try to share Krishna consciousness with others, not make devotees, but help people to experience Krishna, to experience Krishna's beauty, to get a taste of the joyfulness and the love and the beauty that is bhakti yoga, that is Krishna consciousness. And that is under Srimati Radharani's charge. She is the pleasure potency. I was very inspired years later when I read from Jiva Goswami and then also in Prabhupada's purport that when the soul is touched by the Samvit and Hladini Shaktis, bhakti is awakened. So is it the argument? Is it the experience? By my realization, I come to understand, well, it's experience as well. And then when I read the Shastra, it was a confirmation for me. Samvin and Hladini Shakti's awakening of bhakti in the heart. And that Hladini Shakti is under Radharani's jurisdiction. She is the personified pleasure potency. That's what Rai Ramananda wants us to understand. Her position is transcendental. We perform devotional service to give pleasure to Krishna. When we sing, when we cook, when we chant, when we dress, even ourselves, we should have this consciousness, this is for Krishna's pleasure. And that pleasure is under Radharani's charge, but the ability to serve in a way that is pleasing to Krishna the most, that can be learned or cultivated under her direction. And it is she who brings out Krishna's sweetness in the most complete way. And so, yes, Krishna is complete in himself, but he expands as his pleasure potency, like milk boiling over. When the milk boils over, it expands. So Krishna's love, his own pleasure, expands as his Hladini Shakti, and it expands in a way that brings him great, even more delight. Like somebody can make a sound, a whistling sound. We won't do it, it's considered inauspicious, but you can, I can't do it anyway. My grandfather could whistle symphonies, but yeah. But when we whistle, blow the wind through a flute, a bamboo rod, the melodies are even more beautiful. So when Krishna's sweetness is expressed through his devotees, it's even more enjoyable for him, even more delightful for him. He becomes enraptured. He becomes awestruck by the beauty of the sounds, of the love that he is, well, I said sounds, but the love that is being expressed by his devotees. And among all of those devotees, then Srimati Radharani is topmost, and we have been given this nice dhyanam to remember her. That her form is compared to a jewel. A jewel is very brilliant, very attractive. Radharani's form is compared to that jewel. And then she is bathed by three baths. So the jewel is one thing, but then there are like three covers, three veils, that three mists that bathe her. They give some, her personality is expressed as compassion. Someone's brilliantly beautiful, but then compassionate, even more wonderful. Her second bath, youthfulness. Her third bath, luster. And then she's dressed. She has an outer garment of her affection, of Krishna's affection for her. It's pinkish in color. So her outer garment is red or pink. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, don't wear red. Her inner garment is her affection for Krishna. And that's a darker color, dark blue, yeah, black blue. Dark blue. Because the dark blackish blue color reminds her of Krishna. So that's her undergarment. And her outer garment is Krishna likes seeing her in pink or red. And so she wears that as her outer garment. So this is the dhyanam. Her mascara, those crooked dealings. Her earrings, the sounds of the holy name. And like this, very wonderful dhyanam, wonderful meditation for you and I to contemplate and reflect on. Her body is ornamented by these sattvika bhavas, crying, shivering, hair standing on end. These are all the ecstasies that devotees experience in seeing Krishna, or not just seeing, but seeing anything related to Krishna, Krishna's qualities and Krishna's form. And his paraphernalia, they can be triggers. They can be udipanas for these different ecstasies that they experience. So, sadhana notes for you and I. We can be conscious that we are, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. We are practicing bhakti under the guidance of Srimati Radharani. We are practicing bhakti with the goal of serving Radha Krishna, Radha Gokulananda, in eternal Gokula Goloka Vrindavan Dham. Our mantra is a Radha Krishna Yugal mantra. Hare Krishna Maha mantra is a Radha Krishna mantra. Other mantras that we chant, they are also, they are projecting. So our bhakti is being practiced, but then the mantras, they are directing our bhakti towards a certain prayojan, towards a certain destination. Krishna, Govinda, Gopijana Vallabha, these other mantras that we chant, they're directing us to Sri Vrindavan. And that is our amazing good fortune. So let's go back to that. I'm conscious of time. Let's go back to Lakshmi was not allowed. Lakshmi was not allowed to enter into the rasa dance. There's another verse from the 10th canto which reaffirms this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Raya has cited the Nagapatnis, but elsewhere in the 10th canto, Uddhava, he says, just see these gopis. They're being embraced by Krishna. He's holding them. They're embracing Krishna. Krishna is embracing them. This favor was never given in the rasa dance. This favor was never given to the goddess of fortune. Why? Why was the favor not given to the goddess of fortune? She is an expansion of Radharani. She didn't want to give up her identity. She didn't want to... That's the explanation that our acharyas give. She wanted to enter the rasa dance as Lakshmi. She was not prepared to do Radha Dasya. She was not prepared to do the seva of cultivating the mood of Radharani and the gopis. She wanted to enter with her own mood. So identity, but identity is mood, yeah? So she wanted to enter Krishna's Leela with her own mood as the goddess of fortune, rather than the mood of love that is had for Krishna by the residents of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And how is that mood cultivated? Tishtan braje taranuragi jananugami, by following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, trying to understand how they love Krishna with that simple sweetness, how they serve Krishna. So we are given the sadhana. As I said, our mantras, our murtis that we serve, our sadhana practices are leading us in that way. We are doing the anugatya, service under the direction of the residents of Vrindavan that will take us to the service of Radha and Krishna. All right, so today we have discussed 3 points. Krishna's sweetness. We had some nice examples from the Nagapatnis. We discussed Krishna's potencies, Sambit and Sandini Shaktis specifically that we focused on. And we considered Balaram. We also considered Paramatma, giving insight. And third, we discussed Srimati Radharani, personified love for Krishna. Now, Krishna's own love and pleasure expands as Srimati Radharani, and then it gets further expanded there. And how her love and her mood of loving him is most pleasing to him, and how we can cultivate that under the guidance of, and we have been gifted that by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. I will conclude there if there are any comments or questions or reflections. Okay. Actually see that I'm at time. Saturday finishes at 8:45, Sunday at 9. We can go for 5 minutes? Okay. Have a feast. Okay, 5 minutes. Any comments, reflections, or questions? Govind, I can see you're itching to go. No? No? Okay, that hand there is... Okay, so 2 questions here, yep, or comments.
It's just a comment. Thank you. I'm trying to learn to wake up the deities. So today I was stressed out because Radharani's hair wasn't in place. So you've satisfied me there, because you said sometimes our anger is expressed in our hair, which
her arrangement, yeah,
wasn't going how I wanted it to.
Right. Yeah, very good. So Govinda has some experience today waking up Radha Gokulananda, that he saw that Radharani's hair was messy and he was trying to fix it. And then in the description that we read, it was stated that Radharani's hair or her hair arrangement is her anger. And her man is particularly pleasing to Krishna. That is one of the characteristics of Radharani, that pleases him so much, that is that Radharani is sometimes jealous and angry, and she chastises him and scolds him and she pulls back from him. And Krishna really likes that, trying to win her favor.
Hare Krishna, Shri Prahlad Prabhu. Thank you so much for a wonderful class. The resident of Vrindavan, which we follow, is that Srila Prabhupada?
Okay. So I said, Tishtan Brajay Tadanuragi Jananugami, that we follow the residents of Vrindavan to cultivate love for Krishna. And so the question is, who is that resident of Vrindavan that we follow? And is it Prabhupada? And the answer, yes, Prabhupada. Absolutely. He's the resident of Vrindavan whom we know, whom we have either seen or we know people who have seen him. Prabhupada is leading us to follow Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is following Sri Chaitanya, is an attendant of or intimate servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined incarnation of Radha and Krishna. So it is Radha, Rupa, Rati, and others. And then, yes, definitely for us, it is Srila Prabhupada. Only by his mercy can we even discuss these things, can we even contemplate these things. So absolutely, if we don't have that consciousness that we are only here by Prabhupada's grace, then we will be Guru Druha. We will be ungrates, and Krishna doesn't appreciate that. Once I was speaking with a devotee from Srirangam, and he, Brahmin, South Indian Sri Vaishnava Brahmin, he saw my Upavita, we call it a Brahmin thread, and he said, what mantras do you chant? And so I said, well, I can't really tell you, but I can give you some indications what mantras we're chanting, Brahma Gayatri, and then some other Gayatri mantras. And he said, and who has given them to you? And I said, well, my Guru Maharaj, and he's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And he said, you know, it is an offense to chant, for you to chant these mantras is an offense. And according to, you know, Manu, you'll go to hell. He says, but you've been given them by Prabhupada. And so with Prabhupada's permission, you are chanting them. And they will take you to the spiritual sky. He says, but always remember, you are not qualified to chant them. You are being given some grace, some mercy to chant them. And you, if you chant them with that consciousness, I'm not qualified. But my Guru Maharaj has given me an instruction. And if you chant them with that consciousness, you will get the full benefit. So that was something that I've always remembered, yeah? We must remember that we cannot approach any of this without the mercy of Guru. And for us, yeah, Prabhupada is that link. Thank you. All right, there we are, 9 o'clock. Thank you all very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.